This morning I'm turning to the book of Psalm chapter 17. And I read to you verse 14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. And in this morning, our thinking is on this statement of King David, which was inspired by the Spirit, a portion of this verse which says that men of the world, which have their portion in this life. Men of the world which have their portion in this life. So our subject for thinking this morning is the portion of the worldly. And okay, the Abian Hoye in Samuel the King David Okaye or some 17 not all bonfire saying for angel in feet na town for sim no cabibi or say on geno in feet nipa we are say nipa or mo adem with an asum with Japa dear. And so he was praying against deliverance from his enemies, and he said, "These people, they are people of the world, and also their portion is in this life. They only live for this life and aim to have only things of this life and nothing else. They almost any past any for or so much here and say." Omo pese omo 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 hwehwe omo ejapade omo hwehwe ade a omo benya wa abrabom nyia wa asasi so eno pe na omo ni oho na David bompa ese yakopon jini fisa ni pe yo na mse ne yen adisua no yatu din se ewiasefo ejapade na se ewiasefo ade a botaye a omo tina ase ema de nti omo omo bobra omo abra. So the first thing we define, we look at who a worldly person is. So the kind of share the pie because we are seeing because most of the times people think, oh, others are worldly and they are not worldly. Thinking of using their own mind to think of what is supposed to be a worldly or not worldly. So we go ahead to look at who is a worldly person. So a worldly person is the one who is anxious for the things of this life. Who is anxious for the things of this life, the gains, the pleasures, the reputations of this world, is that what he lives for. And that while he's anxious for the things of this life, he's also careless about God's claim on him, or her, or on her, her soul, and also of eternity. He's careless about these things. Sir, yes, in the poor, we are saying, yeah, the whole operating whole, we are saying, Abrabo Munio Mahom. Sir, Moon Faswa, Moon Enije, Moon, a dim ball, and I say, yeah, a dim ball, send a paper ball, dim a whoa, a whoa, whoa. Emra, all this annual my age, you know. Young coupon, miss young coupon, or the young coupon, sir, young coupon, and everybody we are saying, so shall no, no, who no. Nasa, ne crack crown, so and who quite yes, or bedding, who juma, not that chain, and we are saying, but Zubania Japan, I mean, no, and fan of. Time you may banage him cry, yeah, dear Mutiano. Ne botayan is said, anybody will be asking him. The botayan is so between ya, baby will be asking most and miss the Amenian. The botayan is so baby be at least not even the meal so my yet miso marble brat. And only I dream a reasini a deep name or a brave woman. So that is who a worthy person is. He's thinking of the gains, the pleasures, the reputations of this world. That's the focus of his life. He doesn't think that God has claims on him. Even when the thought comes, it's not that a serious thing. He doesn't also think of his soul. As if all that he has to live for is this world. When the world ends, that is it. And also, eternity. He doesn't care of eternity. Even if he sees there's eternity, well, He doesn't know what will happen to him. He doesn't really want to even bring into mind what will he be in eternity. No. So this is the worldly person. So we have a further explanation of the worldly person. But then the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, 16 to 21. Yes, Christo ka bebu sembi fa skenibia no so efasia because no ye obia no what we see wabu abua no ho amba wi ase ni die but wi ase dachi ni ebia asasi twemukọ anase ne kra said the original and found of her. So the parable in Luke chapter 12, 16-21, just when I spoke of what? A rich fool. And why was he a rich fool? You see, not all rich people are fools, but this is a rich fool, meaning that this person acted foolishly with his riches. And the fact is that he made preparations for this world's enjoyment. All that he lived for, he stored, whatever he kept, well, for this world's enjoyment, he made no preparation for the world to come. He never thought of his soul. He never thought of his peace with God and how he can be forgiven of his sins. He never thought of his sins. He thought as if sins are like the wind. If you commit them and the wind passes, it's gone. But tonight, some of them say, "Oh, you should obey your son, give me a cup of tea." So, didn't want to be a channel. Now, what you mean, you're born a fight channel, what you mean, so you're a cup of tea, you're a bafo. Sunny, if you're a dream, or if you're a dream, you're a born a grandson from a. We are nature because on this one, it is supposed to be a man. But in the parable, we are not going there. You know, the Lord God, I've given them, if we can check there, God rebuked him of his folly. The Lord rebuked him that his life is a life of foolishness. It doesn't matter that his status in this world, living for this thing alone is foolishness. Because in the parable, he said, "Thou fool, tonight I'll take your soul from you, and what again will you, what have you got to have?" So it's a life of foolishness. The Lord reminded him that it's a life of foolishness. He told him that he had a soul which needs higher satisfaction. Yakupo katran ze onipa a wo ska wo mbie wo kra wo kra na wo kra no enya enyoma enyoma be ma ame na so ni no enya asase so ni ehwehwe no kra. He told him that he has a soul, and if he's forgotten, his soul needs higher satisfaction than the material things of this life. The grabbing and the storing of all that he has was for his body. He ignored his soul's need. So God reminded him. You know, God, he blesses the whole world with resources, everything. But what he cares about us is our souls. All that God has got remaining in us, which is so precious to him, is the soul. Just a soul is precious to God than all the world put together. Yes, that's what God tells us in His words. I hope I will catch up with us and say, "Nipakra baako, who here and say we are seeing your men here, dear boom." Just think of all the things in the world. Just a single soul is valuable to God than everything in the world. But how do we see things? Do we see things that way? Sign yes, you who your man. So, he told him that he is living foolishly. So this is the way of a worldly person. The way of the worldly person. So again, from the same account, if you read it, you remember that all that his focus of life was I. The word he used was I. What shall I do when you got plenty? I have no room where to store my fruit. I will put down my barns. I will build greater, and there will I bestow my fruit and my goods. And later he said that then I will say to my soul, my soul will enjoy for so many years to come. So it's all about himself. And the self that he was thinking was his body, not his soul. He was thinking about his physical living, his temporal living in this world. I will do this for my body to enjoy. That's what he thought of. So his carnal self was the focus of his security. And who said, "Sir, you can hear Bible culture and say, you speak culture and say, oh yeah, you can hear what's here, you know." Ade ba kusin hu ona ne hu ne se na bra bo nya e ono pe na odwe no na ne hu na odwe nya se ne krampo ni body ne hu ni pedua na odwe ho de odwe ho ani pedua ne odi pedua na moniti ma na odwe ho ni pedua no a ebewu na afiwia asem na odwe ho enti e ka se now abuabuano man nipedia. You see, and that's what many people do. That also, oh abuabra why do you? Abuabra no abu. Abuabra for this world. But if I know a case of abuabra for the world to come, sometimes we say, oh, he has really accomplished in this world. Has he accomplished for the world to come? That's the question we have to ask, because whatever we accomplish in this world, immediately we come to die. The Bible tells us we came to this world naked. Nothing will go with us. Nothing will go with us. And when we come to judgment, nothing will stand for us. All that we did in this world, no, it will never be remembered. So you see, this person, his security was in this life. How he stands with God was not in his thought at all. Maybe Maujan and Hupo in him, say, Missy and Hupo Hunu, so he had the boy in him. So he forgot about eternity. He was so lifted up with the abundance of this life. That's all that he lived for. That's all that he lived for. So he forgot eternity to pursue. Nirefi said, that's what he said. We are see people ever bar. You see, he sought for riches of this world and left the riches of grace. It is the riches of grace that will carry us to the world to come. But he left them. The riches of grace was not his problem at all. Christ was not in his thoughts at all. As I said before, reconciliation with God, things concerning his soul was not in his mind at all. And then that's what he lived. So, and this is the life of the world, the focus of the worldly. How? By this selfishly, they live for themselves and for the present world. If we ask for them, not Nasima, a Viasia, a Womia, a Viasimua, or Tinim Sorcerer, Bewana, where not Nasima, a Viasimua in him Sorcerer, and a better name to Yellow, and only a Bob Wire, a human Yasa, yet Sassin in Yazi. Yet that I am. I'm sure we know that whoever thinks that will deceive himself. Because we don't know tomorrow, we don't know the next hour, we don't know what will happen to us. And yet, this is what the people of the world live for. They live for this world, as if they have tomorrow. Tomorrow is in their hands. And that is error, erroneous living. So we see that. But this kind of life is what the world promotes and praises. Then also, look at the world and all that it promotes. It's for this world. It's for today, and now, and here. That is all. All that the world promotes, that is what they value, is for this world. Nothing beyond this world. The thought of God is not in their mind at all. So that worldly success and selfishness is the pursuit of the life of the worldly. Sir, we are saying, obedi ye na obia, even saying, what you mean about brabi, yakaso wabo brabi, and you know, no one hono, and no na, we are saying for ADHA. Everything is my likes, my achievements, my reputation, my health, my wealth, my happiness. Normally, look at how people, that's why those who come to speak on radio, that's why those public figures. Let somebody try to blackmail them or say something, even if it's true, how they will defend it. They defend their reputation. But ask yourself, do people really think of what will happen to their life after this world? People are willing to defend their reputation in this world. Why they forgot that they have a soul to defend before God. They have a soul to save. A soul that the reputation they try to defend here, one day they will die, whatever happens, whether our names are good or bad, we are dead and gone. But what happens to our soul? So people are thinking of my achievements, my reputation. And if such people, if they have any regard to religion at all, it is for their reputation. Say you also honestly obia assume, at least, because in our part of the world, people think when you go to church, then people respect you. At least you are somebody who have kind of a respect, but not for real salvation to God's will. So say we are the new way. No, I'm saying I'm eba esum nyame sum kra no a enye se omfeso mu nyankopon ne penom di so ne mom no se ebeka se omo so e Kristo fo. That's all. They just want the honor of Christianity but not the will of God to be fulfilled in their lives. That's not the purpose of their life. At least if they should go further, they want God to facilitate their prosperity in their worldly pursuit. Saa ni pe wiase fo so mbese at least omo bi further cramp apart from their reputation. Omo so nyankopo ye kwa sorry ye bua sorry so nyankopo abua me yenso ye wiase enya itumie die o wiase. That's what they think. So you see some of the politicians we see, well, they have so many records people speak against, and yet they want to go to church for a blessing. So when there's time for campaigning, they'll go to churches so that these false pastors will pray for them and they will tell them what the promise is. Why are they going there? They are not going there to find God there. They are going there for the purpose that they will win their campaign. That is what the world lives for. And this is just, when we think of politicians, that's what all those who are what they live for. We want to associate with God because we think like God is like Father Christmas. He gives gifts and that's all. But that's not God of the Bible. God doesn't just bless the world and leave it. No! God demands more than just giving us things. He demands better things from us so that we will be wise concerning our souls. Like the rich fool, riches and poverty are from the hands of God. Well, people really, sometimes people misuse their time and resources and become poor. That's what, if you go to Proverbs, the rich man and the poor man meet together. They are all, it's God who have made them. He has made the rich and the poor. God allows people to be poor, God allows people to be rich. He gives the resources in the world. Even when you talk of national status, some nations are more richer and more advantageous than others. Who put them there? God placed them there. In individual life, some of us are in a better place, others are not in a better place. Who put them there? God. So we see that He putting us there demands better from us. It's not that He wants us to be in a position so that we ignore Him. No, but that is us. You see? That's the worldly person. Another thing is that the worldly person is also the one who is governed by the opinions, ambitions, and hopes of the day. The air can say, we are seeing, you know, and you are going to say, it's in a bra boss, or no, no, a bra bono. I dream for any, but I hear any, and it's so we be an embryo, you know, generational woman, and on a dinner. He's ruled by the opinions of the day. He does not have any higher wealth. If the day is about maybe higher education, that is all. If the day is about having plenty of enjoyment, that is all. If the day is about maybe living this kind of life, that is all. He is moved by these things, and that's all that he pursues. For instance, those who follow fashion, okay, today this is the fashion of the day. That's how you want to live. Today this is how people live, and that is it. He doesn't think of any other thing at all. And by this thing, there are two categories of worldly people. Some, they live for this world by ignorance. What I mean by ignorance is that there are people who have no knowledge of Scripture. They have been born in lands where they don't have access to the Bible at all. And yet, they are also worldly because they live for this world. That's ignorance. You see, it's like before the gospel came into the world, before the gospel came out of the prophet Israel, when Christ came, the Bible called that all the Gentiles were living in ignorance. Not that they don't know, they didn't have God's word. They have God's, law in their conscience, as we all know naturally. But they didn't have the written word. So God said that in the time of this ignorance, God went at them. God just allowed them to be in their ignorance. So this is what I'm talking about. There are people who are worldly by ignorance because they have no instructions from God's word apart from their consciences. But there are other people who also live in are worldly by deliberate rebellion. The American say, "Yewo, if you ask for your woman, you will be more. Omo no, you be a woman to you no. Omo inya yamiasem. Omo inya yamiasem kwada. The only man omo conscience omo tibua pe ina dadam diye ne diye." And to sound comforting, I'm with my idea of some better beyond this world. And here one comforts what? I'm with the no, as for day, it's not the way we are. For yourself, they have this people who live in deliberate rebellion. They have the word of God, they have the scriptures. they live in an area or town or country where scripture is easily to have to come by. And there are so many preachers, they have heard, I mean, how this world is vanity has been said before them several times. In rebellion, they want to live for this world. So they ignore the warnings against worldliness. For the Bible is full of that. They ignore the warnings against worldliness. These people live in deliberate rebellion. Whether ignorance or deliberate rebellion, they are all worldly. They are all living for this world. And then Fahu said, yeah, we have two baby and a Bible me. And I see our way to a Bible war. Say it's not maybe I see a reason for. It doesn't matter where we have been born. We are worldly. We are worldly. That is what the Bible tells us. If we live for this world, for its hopes and its reputations, the gains alone, and also the pleasures, we are worldly. Okay. Do you know that the kind of Christianity which is being promoted by these prosperity, wealth, and health preachers is in this category of worldliness? What do they teach people about? They are common saying of this. I'm not quoting from anyone. They are common ideas that Jesus came, became poor in this world so that we might well be made wealthy in this world. That's not what they say. Christ became poor so that we can have riches of this world. That's the common, idea that moves them. If you listen to the popular ones like Joyce Meyer, Dick Clapiodola, and if you come to Ghana, Africa, there are so many of them here. Pastor Chris and Otabo, that's what they teach us. They tell people that they have to claim territory in this world. Christ never told anybody to claim territory in this world. We should claim the territory of our hearts. It's not this world. They go and pick from the Joshua conquest. So wherever your foot will step, God will give you. No! For us, we have what we have to conquer is our heart and our sinfulness. We are fighting spiritual battle in Ephesians chapter. And after the world calls Ephesians chapter 6, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And yet they will tell you that go and chase after carnal things. Or my catch also said, and you are Christopher, that's the blessing of God. That's not true. So you see, that is the kind of Christianity promoted by this prosperity, wealth, and health preachers is in this category of worldliness. The Bible speaks against it. The Bible nowhere tells us to chase after things of the world. Never tells us to aim higher in this world. Never. Romans is a verse in the Old Testament said that, do you want to achieve, do you want big things for yourself? Don't. Do you want big things for yourself? Don't. In this world. If God wants you to be rich, riches will come to your way, and then He will direct you how you need to use it. But then, you don't make it your aim to pursue it and live for that. It will send you to the place this rich fool went to. So you see, that many people also seem to forget that the Bible called this world an evil world. Bible catch and say, we are seeing here, Bonnie, we are seeing. That's what the Bible tells us in Galatians 1:4. This world is an evil world. And rather, the Bible tells us Christ is redeeming us from this evil world. Its hopes, its passions, its ambitions, all that the world called good, Christ is redeeming us from it. So that when we have some, we don't put our trust in them, we don't put our hope in them. They are nothing to us than our relationship with God. This world is an evil world. Galatians 1:4, it tells us. Why does it mean that? It means that the culture of this world is infested with sin. Everything the world places, everything the world promotes, goes against God. Even if it has religion, it is for online, whatever. It's against God. And it is under the power of Satan. That is why. And it is also controlled by sinful people. That is the world. God has allowed the world to be so because there is sin in the world. The day Adam sinned, God cursed the world, everything. He cursed the human race. He cursed the earth. He cursed everything. This world is doomed. It's evil. It's an evil world. In Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, we are informed of the world's culture and the source of its influence. Now, Bible is saying, we are seeing a traditional name, we are seeing a modern name, we are seeing a man, and baby, almost to me, a free. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit of the world. The spirit that rules in the minds of the worldly. That rules in the mind so that people forget about their soul and God's claim on their lives. And also eternity. As if this world is all that we have gotten to live for. This is what Satan is doing. And that is what people must know. But what does this prosperity and wealth and health preachers tell us? No, demons, when they come to the African way, demons are holding your prosperity. No, that is not what the Bible tells us. Rather, we live in a world of sin. Our sinful heart. That is our problem that we have to look up to. So the culture of this world only promotes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. As we are told in John, 1 John 2:15 to 17. That's is it that all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of this world. And he goes on to say that whoever loves these things, the love of the Father is not in him. And this world passes away, and the lust thereof. But they that do the will of God abides forever. So, quote 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. I'll say, the one we are seeing here, Kunama Kono, Eniwa Kono, and Abrabo Mwahua. Now, say, Samuel make, say, we'll be a Kumemua, Yamit Doninimu, Yamin Tinimu. Now, if we are seeing Kumwako, any sad in your may, Kunama Kono, if we are seeing Enya Kono, and Abrabo Mwahua. And Lucy Chumako, but then, yeah, or any Kupon, I don't know better than that. So, see, the Bible warns us against worldliness, putting our hopes and our enjoyment and resting them in the things of this world. But these things make us enemies of God. This world is an evil world, the Bible tells us. So if we embrace it and live for it, God becomes our enemy. It doesn't matter how much we think we know God, he's our enemy. It's no deception to think that God is your friend and your father, and the Bible tells you are his enemy because you embrace the things he hates. Worldliness. Worldliness, that is what is making Christianity in our world today powerless. Worldliness. Many who think they are Christians have no power over the world. Have no power over the influence of the world in so many of their thinking, so many of their lives. Holiness is opposite of worldliness. You see, when you read about Christianity years ago, years, centuries, you see, and you realize what it is to live in holiness. But our Christianity is very difficult sometimes even to see who a Christian and who an unbeliever is. We are all mixed up. You see, our thinking, our words, our motives, and our hopes are almost the same. That's what the Christianity of today is about. So, it doesn't matter whether people are civilized or not, lust and pride rule the person without God's fear. It doesn't matter. Go to those in the Amazon forest, we think they are not civilized. Go there, you see the same thing. The same, fleshly lust of the eye, the pride of life. It will surprise you that you see it among them. And go to the most civilized nations of the world, you see the same thing. Sin. Sin is over the day. Love of the world in rebellion against God. You see, that is what is killing. That is what is making people separated from God. So now the worldly person is entangled in a prison of worldliness. Nipa is where we are sitting, you know. I saw a prison. And he doesn't know. Many, until we are delivered from it, we don't know that we are in a prison. So this, we are slaves to this world. And what are the slaves to become accustomed to? The praises of the world. The praises of the world. Fleshly minded. Thinking of my body, and its happiness. Thinking of worldly success. Thinking of rebellion against God. Sometimes people don't do this directly, but their attitude is in rebellion against God. And that is it. People are entangled in the praise. They want the honor and praise of men than to obey God. People are so steep in it. That for their reputation to be blackmailed, oh no, they rather wish that God's name will be blackmailed than themselves. You see? That is what people live for. So, the worldly, he or she seeks the fullest satisfaction in these things. Fleshly mindedness, the worldly success, the praise of men, and the loss of seeking God's will for himself. And that is the are the duty of everyone born in this evil world. To know God's will for us. To know God's will for my life. To know, and God's will for all of us. There's only one. Yes, in this world, we may have so many vocations. But the will of God is only one. Because that's the only way we can get to heaven with. People, we don't have different wills of God for when it comes to our relationship with God. It's only one. To know Him and to seek Him to have His love. It's only one. There may be other things God may call us for. But to know His will so that we'll be saved from this world, it's only one. So that somebody cannot tell me, well, I can worship God this way and God will accept it, and I can worship God. Well, you think that it's only through Christ you can know God. No, it's only one. The will of God for our salvation is only one. And until we have known it and submitted to it, we are worldly. We are controlled by the world, either full or partial, whatever way. If it's not, I mean, we are not severed total from the world, we are worldly. And that whatever we claim to be as Christians, we are false. But this present evil world is doomed for destruction. You see, God is so merciful to us that He did not leave us in that state. This world, He has doomed it for destruction. That is why He has true purpose for us. But then, what do we do? We always want a shortcut. We want the corner. Then no, there's only one way, and we have to. If we love our souls, we need to be really, really be concerned with that. So this world, this present world is evil. So King David was right, even in the Old Testament, to tell us that men of this world, men of the world, which have their portion in this life, it's true. Men of the world have their portion in this life, and that is what they are living for. You take it, their world is doomed. Their world is down. Their world, they don't have anything to live for. They're like Micah in Judges, whom they took his idols. They say, What have I again? What have I left? They've taken my gods. What have I left? He lived. He thought that was his gods that were helping him. So you see, the men of the world have their portion in this life. Why? Because all of us are plagued with the sin of our first parents. There's sin, not only that the world is evil, we ourselves are sinners. There's sin in our hearts. We and in that state, when we are not, saved or converted, we don't really know, see our sinfulness. There's sin in our heart. Our heart is full of sin. So when we come into this world, what do we do? The Bible says the mind, those that are of the earth, they live earthly. The mind is earthly. So when we come into this world, all that our mind is glued to is the things of the world. From infancy to adulthood, if we are not changed, all our mind is living for this world. The eternal said, "One day you come, the mind again, yeah, we are saved." The day we are born, we are saved. We are saved. We are saved. We are saved. Money. So we only think of living for this earth. In Romans 5:12, we are told that wherefore by as one man sin entered into the world, and death and sin passed upon all men, death passed upon all men. And also Romans 3:20 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us, without the help of God, realize that we fall short of the glory of God? Until the Bible tells us. We all think we are so wise. We all think we are. We are all God's creatures, and I think we are the best of God's creatures. But the Bible tells us each one of us we fall short by our sin. We are deficient of God's glory, so that we cannot have fellowship with Him. That's what the Bible tells us. By our sinfulness, we are deficient of the nature or relationship with God. We cannot associate with this holy being. The one whose presence no sin can appear. The one whose presence no unrighteousness can be seen. We are full of sin. How can we get close to this being? This tells us we fall short. This is our problem. And only how, but how many people realize this is their problem? How many people realize this is their problem of life? And that's what they have to find solution to. No. How many people? Worldliness have taken absolute control of our mind. And by this sinful nature, our heart being plagued with sin. So Satan, by this position of ours, blinds our minds with unbelief about spiritual things. You see, Satan is so cunning. He knows we are, when we come to this world, we are blinded with sin. We are in sin. So he also blinds us. That's the Bible tells us. He increases our blindness. Obunsambi, and he said, yeah, maybe we are saying you are the boy for no. Who say you are the boy for? Until now, also the sum akati agenso. Emma, you are enjoying your cup on home. You are enjoying ma. I am a cram. You enjoy. That's what Satan does. But you know, when this so-called world health and prosperity preaching, when they are preaching, they rather think the opposite. That Satan is against our worldly and physical success. No, Satan is against our spiritual success, our relationship with God. The first thing he did for our first parents is to let them distrust God. I think of some year my first parents, Omo Ejitum, he said, Omo Enya, Omo Njinya Kukundi. That's the first thing. Has God said this? Has God, well, God knew that. And that is it. So we come into this world, only there's sin in our hearts. We are only already weakened. Then he also, found it with unbelief. He found it with the temptations of worldly pleasures. He found it with the temptations of fleshy pleasures. He found it with ambitions and pride. And what? Reputation. And we give it. We give in. Because our sins are ready for that. You see how the hymn writer said that we are, we are mad. I mean, our nature is so mad with sin. And our nature is so pitiable. But how many of us realize this? We think we are better. We think we are somehow in a good state with the Lord. So each one of us born into this world needs deliverance from sin. We need deliverance. We need to be redeemed from this state where Satan has opportunity to assault us. You know, the life of unbeliever, the mind of a sinner is so prone to Satan. The mind of unbeliever is so gullible to all the ploys of Satan. So that Satan, we like football, Satan players here. That is why you see the worldly. They say, today this is what is going on, they follow. Today this is the entertainment, they follow. Today this is the music, they follow. Today this is the fashion, they follow. The Satan just play them like this because they have no purpose. They have no fixed purpose in this world. They have not discovered the purpose of life. Those who have known God and know the purpose of nothing can move them. Let the world bring everything, it doesn't move their hearts. The faith in Christ and all that he is to them is better than riches, 10,000 riches of the world. That's the hymn writer wrote about that. Christ is the pearl of great price for us. So we need deliverance before we can overcome the power of Satan. You see, the power of Satan, we don't need trace pillar to cast it from us. No, Christ is only the one who can cast this spell from our hearts and minds. The influence of Satan on sinners, only Christ can do that. No human being can do that for us. Nobody can, stand, not an angel, only Christ alone. And his death on the cross of Calvary, the blessings of Calvary alone, when it is bestowed on us, when it's given to us by Christ, really, forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God, when it's given to us, then we have this power. Satan, let the person be a child. Let the person be the most so-called intelligent person in the world. Let him have this blessing. Satan cannot stand him. Satan cannot stand against the weak saints. That's what the Bible tells us. The weakest of gospel, Satan cannot stand against him. So to overcome this Satan's influence and to be able to deliver ourselves from the culture and the love of this present evil world and the rebellion against gospel, we need God's, salvation. We need to be delivered. We need to be taken out. You know, most of the time, Satan's influence is unnoticed. And we even play ourselves into it. Because it is not to be seen by our physical eyes. Upon something that ni to me or one, yehu, yen ya yeti, we are seeing upon yehu. Remember, But in Proverbs tells us there's a way that smell right to a man. But these are the ways of death. The end is the ways of death. And that's what, the world lives in. He thinks having the comfort of this life, having all that he thinks the world gives is the better thing for him. But that's the way of death. It's a way that makes him really realize, think that there's no better life after. After all, I want to pursue the things of this life. So Satan, he deceive people to disbelieve in God's judgment for sin. That's one thing he does for us. Though we sin, well, it's not a big thing because what will happen to us? Though we sin, we don't care if God will judge him or not, because we don't even believe that even God even he exists. We don't believe it. Well, is there, there's God, but really God as a real God, we don't believe it. So Satan makes people to disbelieve God's judgment for sin, and also entail his spiritual kingdom. He deceives people to believe that as if they don't exist. And if they exist at all, they exist for different purpose. You see how Satan does? The one time when he said, Oma, I did my own phone, we asked for it, he said, well, you could pass a chop on a yard, yeah, baby. And I also, on one Kasani kingdom, na Hindi and I, yeah, as soon as any Bonia Hindi, you know, or money pa, and for my dear, come with you, Medianka, so Muditi, or money pa, I didn't call other which is there. I mean, if Africa has a witchcraft and kind of a spell, that's all you people think of. That's just one part. That one, it has no influence on any believer. So you see, but the part that has it makes people to believe is that as if you don't bow to the culture of the world, you can never be successful person. That's what it makes you to believe. That if you don't bow to the pressure to be successful, pressure to become wealth and health, you can never be happy in this world. This is what he deceives us to believe. You see? As if that is, if we don't become successful, we don't have a life to live in the world's eyes. So that's Satan. The spiritual kingdom of darkness that assaults us to disobey God, no, we don't realize it. We don't see it in a state of darkness. So sadly, in our times, especially, many people who claim to be saved from sin are ignorant about worldly mindedness controlled by Satan. If I ever, any time, young people say, oh, well, the young people are from Bano, I don't know what you might do if you say, if we are saved, ah, when some control no, I'm not sure who's filming it. You see, that's one Satan is doing for our kind of Christianity today. So that people just think that repentance is from just from sins I have committed, and maybe I mean some I think I have committed. But to realize that my attachment to the world is a sinful thing, is that it makes me enemy of God. People don't realize it. My attachment, you know, one aspect of salvation is that when we are saved, we are given grace to separate, to fight against the world. That's the Bible tells us, separate. You have to separate. That's the word. Separation from the world, not only from our sins, but from the world. All the ideas, all the culture, all everything that's against the world, it is for us to discover it from the scripture. You see? We don't assume it. The Bible tells us, what the world is in the world, that's against God. Not only our sin. There's a sin in the world that's against God, which we have to separate from. That's why the Bible warns that a believer cannot associate with their own believer in the sense of that, I mean, closeness. There should be separation in my way of life from that of the world. That doesn't mean that I will not live in this world and have my business. No. Talking of the sentiments, the pleasures, the ambitions, the reputations, which people cling to them, as if that they think, if I don't have them, I have no life to live. My life is worthless. That is it. So you see, the world mind, the worldly mindedness controlled by Satan. And the Bible called this a sin. In Romans 8:6-7 and Philippians 3:19, the Bible called this kind of sin, called it earthly mindedness or carnally minded. If we are saying, and I say, that is it. And that is what people don't think of. There's a mind of the flesh and a mind of the world. And if I am a Christian, I have to discover what the Bible speaks about the mind of the flesh or the world. I don't just assume it. Well, I'm not worldly. I'm not fleshly. But what does the Bible say about that? Okay, so the purpose of God sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world is to save us. For him to die for our sin, to deliver us from slavery from sin, and also the culture of this present evil world. Jesus Christ, we are my born, so but if you are born, may feed your born, and we are born in Kasansu. So see, we have to be delivered not just from my sins I've committed, or my besetting sin, but the sin in the world that is controlling the world. I have to be delivered from that. And it's part of my salvation. That is what the Bible tells us. In Galatians, I'm now quoting the Galatians 1:4 for us. Galatians 1:4, it tells us about Jesus Christ. who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Deliverance of Christ is also from this present evil world, the culture of the world, the mind of the world, the mind to live for this life and for the body alone, in disobedience to God. God, Christ's redemption is concerned our separation from the world. For the world as it is without God is against God. The culture, everything. Look at the education system today. What are they doing? They are taking, there's nothing that educates people about God. When the missionaries came, education, Christianity was, to teach people about things of God was a common thing. But now what does it got? They push everything out. The world wants to be on without religion, so quote unquote, or at least they should be a mixture of religion. That's now what they accept is, oh, there are so many religions that to God. That's what they teach our children at school. Because when they do that, Satan has power, because true way to know God is taken away, and people can just take their way and then become enemies of God. That's what the world is about, to make us think that, well, God accepts anything, so we should embrace anything, forgotten that God has a special purpose for us. So Christ came to deliver from these things, and as I said, that this world is doomed for destruction. And do you believe it? Do you believe that this world and all that we think is so important to us is doomed for destruction? This world is doomed for, do you believe it? And if you believe it, has Christ delivered you from your sin and the world? Has he delivered you totally from sin? Christo, why do you want to any reason? That's the question. Do you believe that this world will be destroyed? And do you believe that Christ has saved you if you claim to be saved? That's the question. The influence of the sinful culture of this world, are you being delivered from it? Are you saved from it? Don't just think about yourself, but think of the influence of evil in the world, in people's life. Am I controlled by the world's opinion? What the world called good, or what the world called better and success? That's what I define my life with. Are you saved from it? The godless entertainment that the world promotes, are you saved from it? The entertainment of the world that promotes sexual licenses, nudity, drugs, rebellion, gangsterism, trust in money, and trust in fame, and whatever, in the name of freedom. When people pursue these things of the world, they call they are free, freedom. They have no regards to religion. No, those who think that, we call them atheists, they think that they are the free people, the people who live, they have liberty. It's a liberty to sin. You see, when people don't want to be submitted to God, they become subject or slavery to sin. That's it. So if somebody says, for me, I'm a free thinker, it means that he's subject to his sins. Yes, because if you don't submit to God who made you, you will submit to the things of the world, make you a sinner. So that is it. So true freedom is in the power over sin, not slavery to sin. See, from who do you understand who to are, or see, you know, Abraham, as I see, so no. And yet, from who to are, see, and yet, from who to are, and yet, from who to are, see, and yet, question one. And that's what the world promotes. Liberty to sin, liberty to live as I please, against the will of God. That leads us to be enemies of God. So we find that the liberty that we have to live for is in Christ alone. Only He can give us freedom from our sins. Only He died for our sins, for our personal sins, and also the sins of the world, which He separated us from. Only He died. His death was to purchase this liberty for us. And you see, Christ, that's why when He came, He said that all who are heavy laden with sin, they should come to Him. They are heavy laden with the fact that they are sin in their own heart, they are sin in their, when they are burdened with their sin, they should come to Him. And He will give them rest. Rest from their own sins, rest from the slavery to sin of the world. Those who are in Christ have power to say no to sin. That's what the title tells us. The grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Yes, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, so that we'll be able to say no to sin, no to the world without being hurt. That is it. Say Christo Jinya, it will not to me cause David and try to say we are But not every time because the world, we just ask to run away and answer to him. But then, because he's not delivered. It's like he's forcing himself to live it. No, but if Christ delivers us, we have that free liberty. We are happy that we are not servants of sin and the world and Satan. We are happy that we are now servants of the God who made us, created the God who has given us our soul, and who will come in judgment one day, who will come and judge the world and take those who have lived in him into heaven. My time is already gone. I have other portions to say, but I'll leave it. But then what I'll end with that is that, what is your portion in this life? What's your portion in his life? You know, David said that in verse 4, he said, the last one, he said that, which men of the world, from men of the world, God should deliver from the men of the world, which have their portion in his life, and even whose belly that flesh will hit treasure. You know, he said that God even gives so much of the world things, even these people who live for this world. So what is your portion in his life? Is it Christ? Portion for neediness. A Christo, the Japa do a demma at the Boyan for Monsamo Bonnie, I mean, Bonnie, I hear no more, and which is the Christo ne portion, and I said the Japa demma here for El Bonimine, Bonifacia, and near Niafon Kabum. What God, what Christ gave to neediness is forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God, which imparts spiritual life to the soul. When the fact that anything you have any young team by a barco, may have wanted then stroke and I said spiritual life and quite a few on Rangasa hope that she came near to me. And this is a blessing that we need. This is what Christ gives us. Is that your portion? And then Yangupon, Nisha or the mind. All the gains, comfort, and the praise of this world, which you must leave behind after this life. And I said, what the any if we are seeing move as well? If we ask him more hot, if we ask him more energy, ah, that you that hopa with Jano. I don't know what time, I don't know what Japa idea now. And there's no, and yet, say no battery. Can this thing in the world save us from the judgment to come? If we ask any journey, if we ask a hot, if we ask him a huahuano, I die or Janko point him no, a bit me as Jano, it means here we are. It's rather make us more sinners before God and condemn. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, advises us in Mark chapter 8, 36 to 37, says that, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? You cannot give anything except what Christ gives us, except the blessings from Calvary. Then I'll go to media mark a sewer mouth crack. Be a bit of an example. This is a Christian initial recovery. But Bonifacia, and Bonifu, so, this is my last appeal to you. What is your portion in this life? God has told us what we have to own as our portion. He has told us we shall have treasure in heaven where thieves cannot steal, where corruption cannot touch, where it can never be lost. Have you found that? If you have found that, then there might be a separation from your sin and the world. You cannot live the other. We must not be controlled by the world ideas, by the world ambition, by the hopes and the joys of the world. If we are that, we deceive ourselves that we ever have treasure in heaven. God, those who go to heaven, God will help them to separate from these things. So may the Lord help us. And if we have not have the portion of Christ, let us come to him, confess our sins to him, and ask him. For he has said that whoever comes to me, I will never cast him out. It doesn't matter at what point in life we become serious to seek him, the Lord will receive us. But if we miss it and we cling to the portions of this life, we are doomed for destruction. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.